plaster is falling, the paint is peeling, the plumbing is leaking, the heat and hot water keep cutting off, the elevator keeps breaking down, and the landlord won't return your calls, but the rent keeps going up and up and up?
Find out what you can do about it. Tune in to Housing Notebook, Mondays at 8 p.m. Reactionary
Landlord. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. It's 10 a.m. Coming up next, Bike Snob with Evan Weiss.
Hello, you're listening to Bike Snob on WBAI. I'm Eben Weiss. This is a show about bikes in New York City. But you can't really understand bikes in New York City without understanding driving in New York City. Driving really sets the tone out there on the streets. So I'm going to start off today's show by talking about cars, and about how driving is really the ultimate entitlement. Now, this is Bike Snob, and I'm very critical of driving, but I drive. A couple of weeks ago, I drove to the new Wegmans supermarket in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. If you're someone who drives regularly, you're probably thinking, good for you, you went shopping, so what? But if you're a bike advocate or a transit advocate or a member of Urbanist Twitter or anything like that, I probably just got your hackles up. You're probably very triggered right now. Why? Basically, because plopping this gigantic suburban-style supermarket right on the Brooklyn waterfront along a major bike route, I might add, just encourages people to converge on this spot by car, which is pretty much counter to every one of the city's stated goals, improving transit, encouraging cycling, fighting climate change, and so on. Case in point, me. I live 20 miles away from the Brooklyn Navy Yard in the Bronx. Why the hell am I shopping there instead of in the Bronx where I live? Why am I even getting around in a car? I mean, sure, I had my reasons to be in the neighborhood. I was driving my mother around. I was in the area. I needed groceries. I figured I'd go to the Wegmans. But even so, it's still a total de Blasio driving to the gym type extravagance. Anyway, I want to talk to you about my trip to Wegmans, just so we can talk about what driving is. Because, again, I know what driving is. I know what it's about. I don't just sit here and talk about bikes and how bikes are good and cars are bad without having, you know, a hand in each pocket. Okay, anyway, it's a Sunday night. The supermarket is quiet. There's plenty of parking in the Wegmans parking lot. I don't have my kids with me. I enjoy a leisurely shopping experience and fight the urge to have a beer at the bar. Then I fill my car with Wegmans and head right up Sand Street onto the Brooklyn Bridge. I just fly right onto the bridge. I got some shoegazy British post-punk music on the sound system as I drive across the span of this historic bridge under those landmark towers. The instrument panel of the car is glowing orange in the night. The Manhattan skyline is sparkling and twinkling and glittering all around me. I take that sweeper off the bridge and onto the FDR. I feel like I'm a gem on this necklace now that is Manhattan. It's this undeniably seductive feeling to move through the city in a private, climate-controlled car. At night, you feel purposeful, you feel important, you feel like you're an electronic cell in this great big cyber organism. Okay, I'm going to be taking calls today, by the way. 212-209-2877. We are talking about cars, driving in New York City, bikes in New York City, and the entitlement that driving is. Okay, back to my trip to Wegmans. So I'm in the car, I'm on the FDR, and I'm enjoying it. What can I say? I'm feeling good about myself. It's Sunday night, there's no traffic. But what I can't stop thinking about is what a massive entitlement this is. As a car owner, I've got this network of parkways and expressways completely at my disposal 24 hours a day. I don't share it with bikes. I don't share it with pedestrians. I don't share it with public transit. The parkways, I don't even share it with commercial traffic. Oh, sure, it's not cheap. The price of admission is the price of a car. But as a car owner, I am a member of a privileged elite. Citywide, over half of households are car-free. That's citywide. According to the Tri-State Transportation Campaign, the median household income for a New York City family without a car is around $55,000. For a family with a car, it's around $85,000. Of course, that's not saying there aren't low-income people who don't have cars. Of course, there are low-income people who have cars. It's also not to say there aren't rich people who don't have cars. And it's certainly not to say there aren't low-income people who need cars for whatever reason. However, by and large, it's important to keep this in mind. Car owners are a relatively privileged group. And I am a member of this very privileged, very entitled group. 212-209-2877 is the number to call. You're listening to Bike Snob. We're talking about driving. We're talking about the entitlement of driving. I want to hear from you if you drive. I want to hear from you if you hate driving. I want to hear from you if you're a bike person, a transit advocate who has a car, even though maybe it's against your principles. I want to hear from everybody. 212-209-2877. Okay. So back to me, entitled car owner, with this network of parkways completely at my disposal, there for my whims. I decide I want to go to a fancy, brand new gourmet supermarket 20 miles from my home. There's nothing to discourage me from hopping in the car and doing that. In fact, there's everything to encourage me to do that. I'm encouraged to do that. I'm encouraged to do that by TV, by commercials. I'm encouraged to do that by the city's policies. I'm encouraged to do that on any number of levels. The supermarket is encouraging me to do this. The supermarket is providing me with the parking. Here we are in the most densely populated city in the U.S. with the lowest rate of car ownership, under half of households with cars. And we are very much still in the post-Vision Zero era, in an era where we're with unprecedented awareness of the fact that we need to cut back on driving and make the streets safer. We are still very much creating a very, very convenient and inviting system for anybody who decides they want to buy a car, get around by car, opt for a car-centric lifestyle. I think we have a caller on the line, WBAI. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Is this Anthony?
Hey, Anthony. How are you?
All right. So I like the word you're starting today off with. It's been a while.
Anthony, can you speak up a little bit? Maybe talk more into your phone. We're having a little trouble hearing you on this end.
Okay. Can you hear me a little better?
Oh, that's better. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So with the entitlement as the main theme this morning, I also am a bike rider, but I also drive a vehicle, a car, since 1971 when I got my license. And what my license said with the state of New York, that it was not a right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a privilege to have a license, but not a right.
Right.
So I would like for you, because I try to be fair on both sides, I understand that it's also a privilege to ride a bicycle when you're dealing with traffic. Because you're a bike rider, you also own a car, as you say, but I see both sides of the street, and I just feel that both sides have to understand that, of course, the car is much more dangerous than the bicyclist. But the bicyclist has to understand that the road wasn't put in there for him first or anyone first. It was put there to be utilized by people. And the people have to understand that today the roads are more complicated. They're more congested. And how do we get to the point where there cannot be a villain, sir? There cannot be a villain. You never win when there's a villain. What you want to have is an outcome where everyone is happy and everything works right and safe. There has to be more public awareness of the fatalities, as you said in the past, but there has to be more awareness of, hey, you have to respect the car also. My car was vandalized by a bicycle, and no one stopped to let me know and say I'm willing to pay for this damage.
All right. No, I appreciate this insight. Thank you. You know, it is a privilege to get around with any private vehicle, be it a car or a bicycle. You know, what I'm talking about here in terms of the entitlement is the relative size of the privilege, the relative size of the entitlement. And the entitlement of driving a car is way, way bigger than the entitlement of riding a bike or getting around in any other way, especially when you consider, as I mentioned a bit earlier, that the car owner in this city is a minority, and the car owner in this city is also disproportionately wealthy. Statistically speaking, again, that's not every individual case, of course, but by and large, this is the case. The car owning households have much higher income, and there are relatively fewer of them. And as I'll get to a little bit later in the show, you will not find anything. Again, this parkway system I'm talking about, this highway system I'm talking about, these supermarkets that are opening. Everyone was up in arms about Amazon wanting to come to Long Island City and build this big campus. Besides some of the, you know, smuggy transit advocacy people, I didn't hear anybody up in arms about the Wegmans, about a supermarket being put right on the waterfront that's going to just draw a huge amount of car traffic, that's going to, you know, interfere with people getting around locally. There were no issues with that. Everybody was patting each other on the back, the politicians, the developers. Everyone was patting each other on the back when the Wegmans opened. So what I'm saying is that the size of this privilege, that you buy a car and what it comes with, is priceless. You can't put a price on what you get, what you get as a perk when you drive a car, when you buy a car. It comes with the expectation you can park it pretty much wherever you want. And it comes with the expectation that you have unfettered access to dedicated infrastructure like the highway. So that's what I'm getting at. I'm going to take some more calls before I get back to my self-serving story. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Okay, I'm good. No worries.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, I'm turning off the radio also. Just turning it off.
Okay.
Got it off.
Good.
Ready. I'm here.
All right. Okay, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes, the Phantom is calling in, and I was just absolutely shocked at your opening statements of you yourself using a little monster car and the privilege of it.
Yeah.
And I keep that too, Brutus? Here you are, a bicycle person.
Yes.
Promoting the bicycle.
Lay it on me.
What?
Lay it on me. I'm here. I want your flagellation.
You know, it's shocking.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm thinking to myself, because you're an attorney, quite often attorneys have...
Who's an attorney?
Thinking.
Who's an attorney?
Maybe,
I'm sorry.
Maybe a little, not devious, but I don't know what words. So quite shocked. Here the world is falling apart.
Yes.
Dropping dead.
Yes.
And you're talking about the food. And also, when you get on the bicycle yourself.
Yes.
Yes, you have to feel the terrorism of the metal monster car.
Very much so. Very
and
much so.
And another factor, too, shockingly, is the example that you are setting for your children.
Yep.
It's shocking.
I agree.
You actually put your little munchkin kids and your wife into this metal monster car.
The kids weren't with me. I was alone.
I
was alone. The kids weren't even with me. I was alone. I was in a car by myself, which is even worse. I had this whole car, this whole big car to myself. By the way, you mentioned attorney before. I think you may be under the mistaken impression I'm an attorney. I am in no way an attorney. I could never be an attorney. I am not. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. No, that's Steve Vaccaro from Vaccaro and White. He has filled in for me he's been a guest on the program and he's filled in for me.
It.
Yeah. No, I was not nearly a good enough student or a hard enough worker to be an attorney, regretfully. I'm just a normal lay hypocrite. I'm a lay hypocrite.
Okay.
And again, I love the fact that you're laying into me, and that's why I'm being honest here, and that's why I'm talking about this.
I'm laying into you?
Yes.
It should be just the opposite.
No, this is what we need. This is why I'm being honest with you.
This is what we need?
Yes. We need people to be honest about what they're doing, and we need people to be... I could hide behind the internet and Twitter and the radio and say that cars are evil, cars are bad, and then when I go home, I'm being honest. I want people to understand why I drive. And you know why I drive? Because I'm entitled. Because I'm entitled and I can afford to do it. You know, by your standards, I'm evil and horrible. And, you know, by another person's standard, by the standards of people around me, I hardly drive at all. You know, some people it's all relative. What's not relative is the entitlement. It's a massive, massive entitlement. It's an entitlement I understand. And it's an entitlement I see why it's so easy. And the only reason I have any personal issue with it is because I've gotten to this place in my life as someone who rides a bike, as someone who's really obsessed. I'm obsessed with the way we get around the city. That's the most interesting thing to me in the world is getting around. And from the time I was born, I loved things with wheels, bikes primarily, but anything, skateboards, cars, anything. I loved them. And I know there are a lot of people like me out there who love things with wheels. They love to get around. They love transportation. Okay. And, you know, same thing, subways too, all of it. I find it fascinating. And, you know, it's only by a lifetime. Look, your messaging when in this culture that we all live in is, you know, cars are, it's a given. They're taken for granted. We have a little bit of guilt around them, but, you know, by and large, culturally, we're still pretty cool with them. And it's only, you know, at this point in my life, just thinking obsessively about how we get around that I've sort of woken up to the fact that, you know, that cars are horrible on so many levels. You call them the metal monster. They really are. The death toll, the environmental toll, the street space they take up, the development that we need in order to sustain this ridiculous lifestyle. That's why I've gotten there. And most people don't think that way. And most people, honestly, I don't blame them for not thinking that way. Most people don't have the time or the inclination to sit there and philosophize over how they're going to get around. They're going to get around the fastest way they can, the most convenient way they can. And if they can afford to get around a way that they perceive as faster or safer, whatever the case may be, they're going to do it. And so that's why I'm sitting here being honest with you. I know I drive because I'm entitled. I drive because I can afford it. I am a privileged person in about a million different ways. And that's what this is about. And we're in a city that is still, for all the lip service to Vision Zero and the environment and this and that and the other, it's still catering to that minority privileged demographic, very much so. And look, I'm a hypocrite. I can afford to partake of that. And guess what? I do it. And you're not going to change that unless you change the way you change the policies. You know, you have to change the policies. You have to stop serving that entitlement. And that's what this is about. And that's what this show is about. And I'm not going to lie and sit here and say that, look, I there's things I do because I can afford to do it. And that's the bottom line. I'm going to take some more calls. Thank you very much for the call. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello? WBAI, you're on the air. Hello, WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Bisonop?
Yes.
Hi, this is Manny the Teamster.
Manny the Teamster, how are you?
Very good, sir. I want to mention two things. One, I've been noticing both on private and municipal trucks mm-hmm. that people are putting slats on the side of the trucks
yeah.
as to prevent people from going under the wheel.
Yeah.
There's no law about it. People are just thinking it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I think this is terrific.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the side guards. Yeah. I'm actually, you know what? I think it, maybe someone else could let us know. I think there may be a law or at least advocates are pushing for a law for the side guards. And yeah, absolutely. That it is a good idea. It's an important thing. You know, trucks are disproportionately what's killing people out there. So absolutely. Yeah.
And the second thing is, recently I gave $120 to BAI, and where it says memo, I wrote $100 bike snob.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And I'm going to use that as an excuse. Thank you for your magnanimity. I'm going to use that as an excuse to remind people out there to please like Manny the Teamster, who took one for the team by donating to WBAI. Please pledge to WBAI. The number is 516-620-3602. Become a BAI buddy and keep shows like this going. Thank you. Thank you, Manny, so much.
Thank you. Keep on promoting road safety.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks again. We have any more calls? We do. WBAI, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Lisa from Westchester.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good, thank you.
I think we can get more people on the whole bicycle bandwagon if we don't demonize people that have cars. For the first time, I'm hearing that I'm part of a privileged group.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I'm liking that feeling.
It's an uncomfortable feeling, but it's something you have to explore.
Well, it's amazing because I've worked hard all my life to have a car because I thought the car was a necessity for me to get to work, get to and from work, especially because I live in Westchester. Even if I come into the city and take mass transportation, once I get to the city, I still have to get to the train station and back from the train station. And, of course, the trains that come out to Westchester, you know, they stop at midnight. So you need to have a car. Around here, if you don't have a car, and I love to bike. I've always biked all my life and all of that. And I jog wherever I can. I jog to the gym. Unlike the mayor,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you have to drive to a lot of places, and so I grew up understanding that, you know, I wasn't going to limit myself. There's some jobs you can't have. If you tell them you don't have a car, you know, they require you to have a car, and if you say you don't have a car, you're dependent on mass transportation, you're not getting that job. So those are some of the things that we still have to consider, and there. Parking is not, you make it sound like we can just plop our car anywhere. Parking is impossible. Parking is expensive. Parking is, we're being like squeezed out in so many ways. This congestion pricing thing that's put down in the name of, and I'm not in the city during that time, but to me, it just makes the city that much less accessible to everyday folks, you know, to pay another toll.
All right, now I'm gonna interrupt you. I you brought up a lot of different points, and they're all great points, and I'm glad you brought them.
Can I just give you one more point, please?
You can, but I'm gonna forget some of your point. You're gonna fill my tiny brain, and then I'm not gonna get to address everything, and your earlier points will fall out of my brain.
But
go ahead, please.
One more point is, again, I love bicycling, and I love cyclists enough. But they have to be careful, too. It's like they're coming, like the other day, this guy was coming full speed because it was on an electric bike. It was dark. He had no lights on. I don't even know if it's the law that they should have lights or not. It was so difficult to see, and I'm terrified. I don't want to hit him. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that mean machine that hits them. But it's like the bikers are not careful and they're not.
Okay, you know, I appreciate that. You know, we have that's sort of another discussion. But you know, as far as the privilege of driving, and you know, I'm not sitting here vilifying people who drive. What I'm vilifying is the arrangement we have whereby you're sort of buttonholed into driving. We're still in the 21st century when there's widespread recognition all over the place that this is a problem, that this degree of car dependence is a huge problem. We're still creating a situation where people feel like they have to drive and are encouraged to drive and to do so. Look, my trip to Wegmans was frivolous. You're talking about needing to drive. You know, need is a relative thing. I would never in a million years sit here and say nobody should ever drive a car and that, you know, cars should just disappear entirely from the face of the earth. And I, of course, I'm going to acknowledge there are all sorts of different professions that require you to have the mobility that really can only come from a car. Okay, I'm not saying that. At the same time, what I'm saying is that in a lot of cases, we are encouraging, you know, the degree to which the car is informing our decisions, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond necessity. You know, you're uncomfortable with being called a privileged person. And when I say you're a privileged person, I in no way mean that you didn't work for whatever you had. In no way am I implying that you didn't work hard to get where you are in life and to live in Westchester and to own a car and to have that mobility and all the rest of it. What I am saying is, you know, to a certain degree, you're deciding to there. I don't know your situation. I'm not saying you're rich, poor, anything. But, you know, you do happen to live in one of the richest counties in the United States. I'm assuming you're living there by choice. Nobody who moves to Westchester doesn't understand that this is a place that requires a car. This is also a place right next to New York City, a place that by and large doesn't require a car. So, you know, this may very well be a lifestyle choice you're making, and we should be free to make lifestyle choices, but we should understand why we're making these choices. And a choice that's informed by the convenience of car ownership is something that's worth examining. And as someone in Westchester who has a car and has decided to live a car dependent lifestyle, when you live in a place like that, you're making a decision. You know the name of the game going in. You know that I'm going to need a car to participate in life living here. You know that I don't think it's necessarily fair to take that decision you've made and apply that to, say, congestion pricing. Do people need cars to get around? Yes. Are there jobs that require cars? Yes. Do we need them to a certain degree? Yes. Congestion pricing is an issue where you're taking you're taking Midtown Manhattan basically, and you're charging people a premium when they choose to drive there, and that's not something that is hurting a person who's deciding to drive a car from Westchester to New York City. It's really not. It's a very small segment of people who it's affecting. You know, does it have an effect on commercial traffic? Yes, that's another issue. But, you know, as far as your decision as a driver, I would say this is a position of privilege you're operating from. We're gonna take a break here on WBAI, and we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk more about driver entitlement.
Michael G. Haskins, host of Living for the City on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM Mondays at 11 a.m. Along with senior producer Jillian Jonas, we delve into some of the complexities of living in one of the most diverse cities in America. From the Bronx, Greenwich Village, and Lower East Side to Sunnyside, we speak with on-the-ground activists who are fighting back against mega developers and too tall proponents that make the Disneyfication of Times Square look like child's play. We also speak with community leaders and journalists from the Lenape Nation, Black Star News, and the People's Organization for Progress. The underreported stories, hidden histories that so often get overlooked. Living for the City, Mondays at 11 a.m. over listener-sponsored WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Hi, this is Jerry Stiller. You are listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Where are my keys? Anybody see my keys? Who took my keys?
Hi, you're back with Bike Snob on WBAI. I'm Eben Weiss. We're talking about driving, driver entitlement. I have shared my own experiences as a driver and my own considerable entitlement and when, why, and how I drive. The number to call in is 212-209-2877. Before I speak to some of you, I just want to continue on the theme of driving and this network that's available to you, this Parkway network and all the parking on the street available to you, even though it's on a first-come, first-served basis. That's a whole other issue, which hopefully I'll get to soon. I want to juxtapose that now with getting around on a bicycle, okay? Now, traffic and road work notwithstanding, it's a given that you can make your way along the highway system in a car in New York City without interruption, except for a few spots where Robert Moses didn't fully realize his vision. Every parkway and expressway feeds into another one. Certainly on the surface streets, the only thing that's going to stop you from driving anywhere is, again, besides traffic, is a geographical boundary. And in this town, that basically means the water. You can even drive through most of the parks. Central Park still has the transverses. Van Cortlandt Park is sliced through with parkways and expressways. It's only recently that they closed Prospect Park to cars, though there are still plenty of exceptions. You'll still find plenty of cars in there. And, of course, most of the streets are lined with parking. It's not always easy to find a spot because they're free, but almost every curb in New York City is legally available to you to simply deposit your car and walk away whenever you feel like it. It doesn't work that way for bikes. You hear this thing about the entitled cyclist. It does not work this way. You cannot ride a bike over the Verrazano or the Throgsneck or the Whitestone. There are footpaths on the Marine Parkway Bridge and on the Cross Bay Bridge and the Henry Hudson Bridge and the Triborough Bridge, but you're not legally allowed to ride your bike over them. You have to walk over them. The dedicated infrastructure that does exist for bikes, in many cases, it just starts and ends, and it's often full of cars. Recently, I went to check out a new bike lane on Southern Boulevard in the Bronx. It runs along the Botanical Gardens. Wow, a bike lane along a park. What a concept. I was excited about this new bike lane because I live in the Bronx. I sometimes take my kids to the zoo or the Botanical Garden by bike. This would make that about 1,000 times easier and safer. This new Southern Boulevard bike lane was maybe a mile or two long. It was full of idling school buses and city buses, and it just stopped dead at Fordham Road. This is in no way unusual. Of course, you're technically free to continue on after the bike lane stops, but who the hell wants to? I mean, I'm fine with it. I'll keep riding, but I'm not normal. I live and breathe bikes. I always have. I've been a racer. I've been a bike messenger. I don't need bike lanes. I'll ride anywhere, but normal people do need bike lanes. And normal people also want to ride bikes. It's not just weird people like me. That's why there's been a 134% growth in daily cycling in New York City between 2007 and 2017. It's because we started building a bike network. But the bike network doesn't connect. So we've got record numbers of people on bikes, but the network's rudimentary at best. So we're at 28 dead cyclists this year. This is, it's like you're running off a cliff. You know, more and more cyclists, but the infrastructure is not there. The city council has passed the streets master plan that would theoretically complete the network. But that's a five-year plan that doesn't even start until de Blasio leaves office. So riding a bike in New York City is just as intoxicatingly wonderful as my moonlight drive home from Wegmans that I described earlier in the show. And the price of entry is a tiny fraction of what it costs you to drive. It's sort of obscene if you think about it that we have this network of roads that have such a high cost of entry. Okay, that's not the case with a bike network. The cost of entry is very low. The real cost of entry is the perceived risk factor. It's the intimidation factor. That's the real barrier to entry. So please call in 212-209-2877. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Russell. I'm up in Westchester.
Yeah, hi, Russell.
Hi, how are you? You know, continuity is very important, and Westchester isn't like the out west. I mean, we're 20 miles away from New York City in White Plains. If there was a continuous route down, people would ride the bicycles down there. But it's the abdication of the people that run the society. You know, and the caller from Brighton Beach who referred to the metal monsters, I don't know if he sails into Brighton Beach, but there's a metal monster on rails, and I'm sure he takes. And basically, subways are suicide pits because the government doesn't protect us from people jumping, throwing, pushing other individuals in front of the trains. They could put up partitions on the platforms, but they don't care. They'd rather put up mosaics and artwork. So we got a real problem. Drivers are a privilege group. Driving is a privilege, not a right. Unfortunately, too many drivers think it's their right to drive recklessly, and you have to distinguish to the guy from Brighton Beach. Bad drivers, responsible drivers, are not bad drivers. They are reckless criminals who put all of us at risk randomly. They're just randomly going to kill some of us. So it's important to distinguish that it's the government that is causing the problems and we need to fight back. And I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you for the call. You know, the transit system, the subway system, yes, it could be safer. You know, you mentioned people falling or jumping onto in front of trains. This is a horrible thing, and there are in other countries. They have addressed this with partitions on the platforms. And you know, what this goes to, you know, that's just one of many crises facing our transit system. And people are well aware of the problems with the transit system, which is the transit system. Obviously, this is a state responsibility. And, you know, the transit system has gotten short shrift like everything else because we spend too much time and energy and resources on highways and stuff for cars and not discouraging people to drive. We've always, you know, since the car took over, we have put way too much into cars and we've let everything else sort of wither on the vine. And that's why I was talking about my own trip and how it's a cop out. You know, it's a cop out that we've decided to put so much into highways and letting people drive. You go and buy a car, you undertake this enormous financial burden, and that's and you're on your own. We're basically saying to you, on one hand, we're requiring so much of you in terms of requiring you to own and operate this expensive machine, and on the other hand, you're saying you're on your own. You know, you're on your own. So it's a messed up situation, and that's what we're talking about here today. Thank you, WBAI. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, and I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Yes,
and I'm calling in to talk about this misnomer that car parking is free. Parking is not free.
Okay.
Even if you don't put your car in a parking lot, parking is not free. And most municipalities have very, very good reasons, billion-dollar reasons, for allowing parking on the street. And that's what I want to discuss.
Okay. Why? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying that when you the automobile produces enormous amounts of billions and billions of dollars in income for municipalities in every part of the city. It's one of the most important industries ever to emerge in the industrial age. There is no comparison with the industry of bicycles, whether you use e-bikes or regular bikes or what. Because of the cost involved, the automobile is complex. There's many, many parts that go into it, and not just the matter of manufacturing and selling automobiles. The insurance industry, the fuel industry, car parts and repairs, drivers, transportation of goods, it contributes to the efficiency of a million different businesses. So the productivity that came out of the automobile is the reason why municipalities move towards making it more convenient to build off cars. And that's why you see during the Obama administration, when he came in, the country was in a financial crisis, and he had to solve it immediately because with the collapse of the automobile industry, it would have taken $7 to $10 billion out of the economy. So you're not talking a small amount of money. That's why the automobile industry is so critical. That's the reason why municipalities allow you to park on the street. But when you park on the street, it means that it facilitates you paying all kinds of taxes, purchase taxes, licensing, registration, gasoline taxes, without which the cities will not be able to afford bike paths. You don't hear them say, we're going to charge a congestion price or $2 more, gas, 2 cents more gasoline tax, and use that to build roads or fix cars. They say, we'll use it to do the subway. We'll use it to build more bike lanes. We'll use it to subsidize the MTA, buses and subways. Drivers pay for these people who they're the privileged ones that are running their mouths.
Okay. I see where you're going with that. I thank you for the call. I think the idea that you know, I think it's a very common misconception out there that car ownership is what's sustaining. You know, obviously, the car industry on a national level is a big industry, and it's an important industry. At the same time, this notion that, you know, certainly on a local level, that as a car owner, as somebody who buys gas or drives around or pays tolls that or pays for registration, that you're sustaining the economy. This is a false notion. I mean, I renewed my car registration the other day. It was like $135 or $136.50, I think I paid to register my car for 2 years. The idea that my registration or the eight tanks of gas I buy a year or something, the taxes on that, the idea that is sustaining all the externalities that my car use brings upon the city, it just doesn't hold water. All the damaged cars goes, the loss of productivity from traffic jams caused by collisions, all the constant property damage, the damage to the streetscape, the maintenance of the streetscape from car. How many times have you, if you walk down the street, if you haven't thought about this before, if you walk down the street, look around you, look at what cars do to the streetscape. How many times have you seen street signs knocked down by cars, broken glass and debris everywhere? When cars crash into things and each other, that is a huge expense. When two drivers bump into each other and the police have to come and stand there for hours writing reports, and this is not an efficient, self-sustaining business model. The caller mentions that, you know, cars sustain the oil industry and the insurance industry. Sure, they do. Is that really an argument in favor of cars, though? I would say it's the opposite. Is this sort of bloated insurance industry that car ownership requires a good thing? And look, no offense to you if you work in the insurance industry, but, you know, is this really a good, positive, sustainable thing? None of these things really are. You know, the city's attempts to sort of rest with a W some money out of you know, all of this car traffic is really a response to just the huge strain it is on the infrastructure. I mean, and that's forgetting about all the injuries and deaths that result. And you know, the studies have shown that despite this misconception that you need parking in order to sustain businesses, it's often quite the opposite. They find that when they make places more accessible to pedestrians and to people on bicycles, that helps businesses, that helps retailers. If you just think about it from a spatial perspective, you can only fit so many cars in close proximity to a store. It's not an efficient customer delivery machine system. It's not. So all of these things, really, the car is not sustaining the economy. The economy is really struggles in a lot of ways because of cars, certainly in cities. Look, I'm talking about New York City here. I'm not talking about every place on the planet. I'm talking about New York City, and jamming too many cars in the city, it doesn't work. It doesn't work economically, and it doesn't work for our health. WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Eben. How are you? Great show as always. This is Jeff from Union County, New Jersey.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me. I just wanted to mention one thing. When you were talking about your privileges, you left out one very important privilege.
Yeah.
You have the great and wonderful Mr. Michael G. Haskins at the helm, and he makes every show a better show.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I always want to give him his props because he's a fantastic man, and he adds so much to WBAI.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Anyway, like I said, I thank you so much for your show. If any group needed an advocate, it's us as cyclists. I mean, I've been a lifetime cyclist, and I've been a driver since I'm 16. And I got to tell you, I only drive a car when it's absolutely impossible to walk or bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I consider it a necessary evil, but as you say, it's an evil nonetheless.
Yes, yes.
I agree with your advocacy. I agree with your vision of where we have to go as a cycling community, but I would like to take exception and disagree with the way that we should get there.
Yeah.
I would like to say that I don't think you can legislate your way into this. I think it has to be a change of attitude, and I'll give you an example. My wife and I just came back about a week ago from our first vacation in a really long time. We went out to the Southwest, and, I mean, we hit Nevada, we hit Arizona, we hit Utah, and everywhere we went, even though the highways were 80-mile-an-hour speed limits, there were well-marked, well-maintained bike lanes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, I thought I died and went to heaven. I never saw so much courtesy.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. And like I said, it's apples and oranges because there's so many fewer people there. But even so, the courtesy was palpable. And that is an attitude that's not a legislation.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and it helps to have that infrastructure there so that people can feel safe and that they're not
Absolutely.
Put into conflict with each other. Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much. Thank you. WBAI, WBAI, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Susan. I'm calling from Queens.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm a BAI buddy because of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I wanted to counter the woman from Westchester who said that a lot of the jobs you need to have a car, otherwise they won't hire you. I had a job where I worked in Hicksville, Long Island,
yeah.
from Queens. It was almost a two-mile bike ride or walk to the Long Island Railroad Station. And then once I got off in Hicksville, I had about a little over a mile from the station to my job.
Mm-hmm.
There were many times when it would be snowing, and the woman who was supposed to be relieving me would not come, even though she lived 20 blocks away from me in Queens. Her car, I couldn't drive because of the roads. And so I had to stay and do doubles so many times. And I would say to them, like, if I was able to get here, why can't she get here? If I'm able to get home, why can't she, you know? And they, she drives.
Right.
So, like, the perception was because somebody drives, they're not capable of then getting on the Long Island Railroad. It also happened when there were people after who lived out in Hicks, and not in Hicksville, but in Nassau County. They were supposed to relieve me, but the roads are bad, I can't come. But meanwhile, I would manage. There were so many times I had to trudge in the snow. So I don't think that's a fair statement to say that you can't get a job. I was able to do it. I did it for almost 3 years. And I definitely am not a privileged person. If I could afford to live in Westchester, I would be living in Westchester. I wouldn't be living in Queens.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for the call. This is great insight. You know, the car dependence can be a real trap because when anything goes awry, the first thing that happens is the traffic gets snarled. Whether any of us who have been through the hurricanes, the terrorist attacks we've seen in the city, you see what happens. The first thing that comes to a halt, traffic. Cars, you can't get around. It's such a delicate situation. Car dependence, it's so dangerous in that respect. When you are fully car reliant, you find yourself helpless so quickly. And you know, the point Susan made about you know, people saying, I'm having car trouble or the weather's too bad. I can't drive. So that's it. I'm throwing my hands up when there's a rail system right there. There's this learned helplessness that comes into play. You become too car dependent. Even when there are other ways to get around, you can't avail yourself of them because you don't know how they work or they seem foreign to you or you know, you're just, you become helpless, and it's dangerous. And you know, and another interesting thing about commuting into the suburbs and reverse commuting or getting around the suburbs, riding a bike is not necessarily an all or nothing proposition. It's not at all. You can ride your bike to train stations. You can ride your bike to transportation hubs. And that's something that people in this part of the world, we don't often think that way. We think, oh, I'm going to become a bike person. I have to get all these weird clothes and do all this weird stuff and battle the weather. And I'm not ready for that, so I'm not going to do it. It doesn't have to be a big commitment. And I think that what we need to do in sort of the next round of bike infrastructure planning is to account for the fact that, you know, there are short trips to and from transit that bikes can accommodate. You can, if you live a few miles, you know, if you live in a so-called transit desert, if there's infrastructure for you to ride to the nearest train station and lock your bike safely, that's great. You know, you can ride your bike 1 or 2 miles in the freezing cold, and it's not as challenging as it may seem. It's not challenging at all. So this is really something important to keep in mind, that you do not have to change your life that much to ride a bike. You don't have to change the landscape that much. You know, a bike can be the main mode for you, or it can be a small piece of the way you get around, but it can be incredibly transformatively useful, especially when you consider how many short trips, even in New York City, we're making by car. I'm going to take another. I'm going to wrap up the show. I want to thank everybody very much for calling. I want to remind you one more time to pledge your support to WBAI. This is listener-supported radio. Please call in. Become a WBAI buddy by calling 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Become a BAI buddy. I want to thank you very much for listening and for calling. This has been Evan Weiss, Bike Snob on WBAI. Ride safe.
Maya, guess what? Kylie Jenner's new lip kit is out.
Mercedes, are you really going to spend your money on that garbage?
It's not garbage. She finally released a color I've been looking for, ginger.
Mercedes, you can do so much more.
Like what?
You can donate it to WBAI and become a BAI buddy.
What's a BAI buddy?
A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a monthly donation to WBAI. Once you join, you'll receive a BAI buddy card and a free tote bag. The BAI buddy card allows you to become eligible for on-air giveaways and receive discounts at local shops, museums, and venues. And that's not even the best part. You can get all of this and more by donating as little as $10 a month.
That sounds amazing. I want to become a BAI buddy. How can I join?
You can sign up at WBAI.org.
WBAI.org? Got it. Thanks. And you're right, I can do a lot more at WBAI than with Kylie Jenner.
It's all about supporting a medium that keeps it 100.
Building bridges your community and labor report. From your workplace to your neighborhood, listen to the show that brings it all together. Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Bringing you news and analysis, local, national, and international. Monday nights, 7 p.m. We build bridges. And it's time we started calling the
shots. Umoja. Unity. Kujijagulia. Self-determination. Ujima. Collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa. Cooperative economics. Nia. Purpose. Kuumba. Creativity. Imani. Faith. These are the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa. Come celebrate with us.
Habaragani. Kwanzaa is an annual celebration honoring African heritage and observed from December 26 through January 1st. Join me, Malika Lee Whitney, for this special untitled broadcast, A Kwanzaa Keepsake, Thursday, December 26, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m.